It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Rob Ferret.
Coming up later in the program, we'll talk about a new study that says we should be eating even more fruits and veggies and get creative tips for incorporating those foods into our diet.
Tonight at 7 o'clock, the Wisconsin Conservation Congress is convening its annual forum. It's an opportunity for everyone in the state to share their thoughts on how the state is doing when it comes to managing wildlife and public lands in each of Wisconsin's 72 counties.
Wisconsin is the only state in the country that has these kind of state-sanctioned hearings for the public to talk about wildlife management. Here with us now to discuss how you can get involved and what will be on the docket this year is Wisconsin-based outdoor columnist Pat Durkin. Pat, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, last year's Conservation Congress meeting, it got pretty contentious. For instance, there was the wolf hunt issue at stake. What are the big issues up for discussion tonight?
It often depends on your perspective, but I know for muskie fishermen, the big question this year again is a question on whether we should allow motorized trolling statewide. And, you know, most of the counties already have allow you to troll for fishing, you know, with a motor, but there's some areas that don't. Another one that's real controversial with some folks is when it's an advisory question, which means it's just for advice only, but it asks whether we should allow tundra swan hunting. Right now, there's only 8 states in the country that allow tundra swans to be hunted, so that's a question that they'll be asking. Let's see. There's also a question I found kind of interesting, whether we should lift the ban on shooting albino deer. So lots of interesting questions that come up every year at these meetings. And, you know, it's again, it depends on what your perspective is as far as, you know, what's most controversial.
Can you give us some background on the Conservation Congress itself and what the purpose is behind it?
Yeah, the Congress itself, this is its 80th year. As an organization in Wisconsin, it basically came about back in the days of Aldo Leopold, where they wanted a more formal way to get people involved in our conservation issues in the state. And so it's been an organization since then, and every county in the state has 5 elected representatives. So one of the first things they do at these county meetings tonight is go through those 5 positions, and usually I think 2 or 3 every year that are up for election. And so people can nominate, you know, the incumbents or nominate new people and put it to a vote. And then these folks, they'll meet again, all of them who are elected, you know, the 5 from each county will meet in Wausau in about a month. And they go through all the questions that are asked tonight, and they basically, you know, vote again as counties and county representatives on the different questions. And in some cases, the ones that are kind of divided and not so clear-cut about, you know, where the majority lies, they'll debate those things at their statewide conference and then take those recommendations to the Natural Resources Board, which eventually sets policy for the DNR.
And would you consider it a fairly influential organizational body?
It can be. You know, it's like so many things in politics. Sometimes, you know, the questions that come up at these hearings tonight, certain lawmakers once in a while will say, hey, that's a good idea, and there's enough public sentiment, and they'll take it and run with it and basically make it their own idea and get it, you know, run it through as a law fairly quickly. Other times, you know, Congress recommendations get forwarded on and never seen again. So I think that's nothing that's really unusual in that regard as far as how we practice politics and government in our country. But it's, you know, It's always fun to kind of, I like the idea because it gives people this voice, and they might not always think they're being heard, but at least there's a form that's a formal form that we go through every year and do this. And like in your intro, you said this is the only state in the country that does that. So every time we find ourselves complaining about how sometimes mind-numbing these kind of meetings can be for people, you think, well, it is our process, it is our system, and it is something that, you know, we have an opportunity here that most people don't have.
And you mentioned one of the issues at stake tonight is people's opinions about the hunting of tundra swans. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one that a lot of people have expressed strong feelings about. Could you explain a little bit what opponents are saying about the prospect of swan hunting?
Yeah, the tundra swan issue, it's really interesting because, you know, there are states that allow They actually have hunting seasons in eight different states on tundra swans. None of them are in the Midwest, though. So if Wisconsin ever were to go forward with that, we'd be the first. You know, the other ones are out in the Dakotas and Montana, then out in the East Coast and New Jersey and Virginia and North Carolina. But the big controversy, for the most part, I think, boils down to the idea that tundra swans look an awful lot like trumpeter swans, and trumpeter swans are endangered. And trumpeter swans are bigger by about another third, beyond, you know, bigger than kind of losing my train of thought here.
Than the tundra swans.
Thank you. And so even I think the people who want to hunt tundra swans concede that these are very similar looking birds, and there is that risk factor involved. And, you know, so it is kind of hard to get around that, as far as if they're sharing the same flyway at a certain time of year. And it's, you know, then they make these arguments about, well, the one favors, you know, bigger water bodies of water than the other one. But I can think of times I've seen both of them on the same size of water, so I'm not sure we can ever get a real definite answer unless you know for certain. But the only way you really know for certain on these two is that the sound that the calls they make. And the trumpeter swan, you know, the name trumpeter, it sounds like a French horn, basically. If you ever hear one, mm-hmm. It's a very distinctive call. And that would be one sure way of knowing that's definitely a trumpeter, leave it alone. So it's controversial. And anytime you have these kind of conflicts where you can have something be confused for something else, you're going to have people opposing it. And I guess I'm not surprised to know some people really would oppose this one.
There's also some split opinion about a new hunting dog rule. Can you take us through that one?
Oh, yeah. I should have mentioned that. Right now, you know, it usually involves like the bear hounds, and also the same houndsmen use their hounds for hunting raccoons and bobcats. And, you know, by law, you know, if their dog can't be located or they know it's on someone's property, they have to get the landowner's permission to go in there and get their dog. And this law would basically make it where they can go in without permission and retrieve their dog, get it off their property, and bring it back in. And there's concern that this, you know, that this, you know, allows trespassing without permission, basically. And, you know, of course, the dog owners argue that a lot of times it's very hard to find landowners, and a lot of times it's hard to find landowners at night. If the dog's out there lost at night, well, what do you do? You start waking people up and, you know, to get your dog. So it's in some ways, it's not going to create conflict no matter what. So I guess I look at it and think, well, I can see where, yeah, we've opened things to possible abuse there by letting people trespass under the guise of retrieving a dog. But, you know, I don't think on those kind of things we'll ever have a perfect solution. So I think this one is worth talking about, at least, and getting some different opinions out there and seeing what people think about it.
And deer management, that's always a big issue here in the state. Any proposed changes that should come out of tonight?
Well, basically tonight, I don't think there's anything that pertains strictly to deer hunting on the questionnaire, but for the first time, and this is a new thing that the DNR is trying this year, is they're folding in their county updates on deer management. And, you know, this used to be a separate meeting they would hold about this time of year to bring people up to date on new rules for the fall. They'd go over the current estimates of deer numbers in the area. And because we're switching to a new deer management unit system, we're going away from the old, we used to have 136 separate deer management units. Well, now they've just done away with that idea, and just saying each county of the state is its own unique deer management unit.
So simplifying that a bit, so we may hear some about that tonight. And mm-hmm. for listeners who want to get involved, how do they find out where to go?
You can go on, you know, the DNR has a very easy process here. You go on their website, just go to the DNR website, and one of the tabs you'll see, it's pretty hard to miss it. There's one on the Conservation Congress, and you hit that tab, and it tells you the location of all 72 hearing sites.
Excellent. Well, Pat, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet.
We've been speaking with Wisconsin-based outdoor columnist Pat Durkin about Wisconsin's Conservation Congress.